He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, happy Mother's Day and welcome to the Paul Molitor Show. And indeed, I believe we're all together. Chris Atterbury here in Cleveland. I am high atop Progressive Field watching some of the pink-clad Twins in their Mother's Day finery going through their warm-ups down the right field line. Jack Morris is in our network headquarters at Target Field, and Paul Molitor downstairs in the manager's office here as he prepares his Twins for a hopeful sweep of the Cleveland Indians. So happy Mother's Day to all, and good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. I hope we got a good signal here. I have to start off by wishing my beautiful wife a happy Mother's Day, of course. And to her mom and all the moms out there, all the Twins fans that are moms, we wish you a very special day.
Very well said, and I agree.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah.
Good morning. Yeah,
Hey, Paul, so I have to ask, will you be sporting the pink cleats today then, or any of that as part of your managerial gear?
Well, I think we all have pink undershirts for our uniforms. I think a lot of the players have the pink shoes, pink bats, pink sweatbands, pink sunglasses. I think I'll be limited to undergarment and sunglasses, but obviously it's a great thing that MLB has taken on over these past several years, and we will be out there showing support, wearing our pink today.
Well, the Twins obviously are off to a good start here in Cleveland, Paul, the last couple of days. Got a little interesting down the stretch, and I guess the lead question in regards to the on-the-field performance the last couple of days into today, has Torrey Hunter tried to talk his way into the lineup again today after two absolutely spectacular days at the plate?
Well, you know, he finished the homestand swinging the bat very well, and he carried it into these games here, obviously. And I have him DHing today. You know, we talk a lot about trying to take care of Torrey the best way we can to keep him feeling well and keeping the production level, which has been incredible as of late. But I think he's good to go. I think the DH days help his body a lot in terms of recovery and take some of that, you know, just the physical strain off of playing defensive baseball. And it's nice to be able to put his name back in there today, but we will have him in the DH slot.
Paul, you've got to be very, very pleased with your offense. Tom Bernanski's really worked hard over the last couple of years, and a lot of these guys are really starting to get into a groove. I think it's a combination of running into some clubs that are not playing at their best right now, but either way, the fact that you guys have really been taking it to these clubs and putting up some big numbers, got to be pleased.
I am, and in regards to your comments, obviously Tom Brunansky has done a fantastic job. I think the hitting job is probably one of the toughest jobs in our game. I'm just dealing with 13 hitters and different approaches, and you know they all have different ways of mentally handling success and failure, and you got to stay atop of working on their brains as well as their swings, and he does it as well as anybody. And it just helps the fact that, you know, we've been getting production from so many different people. I think it takes the pressure off of any one or two individuals to feel like they have to carry the load. It's really nice when your offense can spread it out. And as of late, they've been pretty consistent. We had that one game where we lost 2-1, which was a well-pitched game against us. But overall, the trend is of late, we're swinging the bats well. And I think your other point, Jack, is, you know, sometimes you're playing teams that maybe are trying to find themselves or searching, or they have some injuries, and maybe we have had a few breaks in that regard. But I don't want to think about too much other than the fact that I know that our guys are playing well.
Well, that's just the point. And as we go, you know, here in towards mid-May, you're getting a good taste of your own division. You've played everybody now. Mm-hmm. You know, is there a team that you think is the Twins have got to play better against? I don't even know how to ask this question the
sure.
right way, but in your own division, I'm getting the feeling, Paul, that the Minnesota Twins, especially the way their offense has been going and pretty steady defense, can contend in this division. And, you know, the first week after the season, I think there's a lot of Twins fans that were going, oh, no, here's the fifth year in a row.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, you look around and the way it's all unfolding, the Twins could be a contender to win the division.
Well, I think it's great for people to have visions and imagine scenarios where the trends that we have shown lately just continue out over the next 130 games. I personally like to keep my mind in a little bit smaller box. I love to imagine, too. I mean, obviously, you try to picture what it would be like to get into a position to be competing for something that's really important as you get in the latter stage of the season. But we're going to try to stay in the present as best as we can. That's the teams in our division, obviously. We know Detroit. I think they're 5-1 against us. Those first three games were pretty ugly, and they were pretty dominant. They're an outstanding club, as is Kansas City. And these other teams that have struggled a little bit out of the gate, you know, your Cleveland and Chicago, very capable of resurging. It's early. You know, we haven't, you know, hit that even. We're not even to the quarter point yet. So we're going to keep trying to do what we do without sounding, you know, too cliche. So we're going to just continue to try to play better, try to compete every day. You know, when you're going well and things are going your way and the ball bounces in your favor, you try to capitalize, and we talk about getting greedy. Great to win this series here in Cleveland, but when you have a chance to sweep, you got to think sweep, and hopefully we'll go out there and we'll play today and give ourselves a chance to do that.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. If you'd like to join us, 877-38-TWINS, 877-388-9467. We'll take a break. Back with more on your home for Twins baseball.
Well, there's the end of the inning. Before the next batter steps to the plate, let's get something on our plate.
Good call. Maybe a Sheboygan sausage grilled to plump and juicy perfection, topped off with a sweet smile from Heinz ketchup. Now that hits the spot.
Yeah, and add some crunch to the lineup with Old Dutch potato chips, washed down with a refreshing Killer Brew root beer flavored with real Minnesota honey.
Then circle the bases with a frosty handmade scoop of Izzy's ice cream, another St. Paul native.
Target Field concessions and sponsors. Made in Twins territory, supporting Twins territory, and enjoyed in Twins territory.
Want to make your home a more comfortable place, but don't think you can afford a top-brand heating and cooling system? Well, Carrier has the right solutions for every budget. When you turn to your Carrier expert, they'll show you our full lineup of best-in-class home comfort systems and help you pick the one that best fits into your home budget. From our value-priced Comfort Series to our top-performing Infinity system, at Carrier, we've made excellence more affordable than ever. Because in this economy, who couldn't use a little more comfort? Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
This is Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins, on behalf of Minnesota Eye Consultants. Minnesota Eye is the preferred ophthalmology group of the Minnesota Twins and is a generous supporter of the Minnesota Twins Community Fund. I had my corrective eye surgery at Minnesota Eye, as have several of our players and support staff. If you have special eye care needs or wish to learn more about vision correction without glasses or contacts, contact Minnesota Eye Consultants. Go to MNEYE.com. For your eyes, do what the Twins do and see Minnesota Eye.
While a cow eats 25 pounds of hay each day, a Case IH round baler can bale 450,000 pounds of hay in a day. And while cattle have only one job to do, a Maxim Series tractor has 70 tools and attachments to help you do any job. Sure, cattle bring in the profits, but for every other job you need to get done, count on Case IH equipment. Visit your local Case IH dealer or caseih.com/livestock.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Paul and Chris Atterbury are in Cleveland. I'm Jack Morris here at Target Field. And Paul, we probably could spend this whole show talking about your offense by itself, the fact that they've been so good in recent games. Mm-hmm. But I want to switch gears here and talk a little bit about a guy out of the bullpen that I think just deserves some attention. He's already gotten attention, but he really has pitched well, and that's Aaron Thompson. Yesterday you were saying you don't know where you'd be without him right now. Mm-hmm. And I got to believe the chain of events that brought him back early in the year has really encouraged him, and it's just a great story in itself.
It has been a great story, Jack, and I think it's very accurate to say that our record would not be the same if not the contributions of that young man. And I've seen him in the minor leagues for in the past, I don't know how many years, but he was a guy at times where I'd say this guy is the best guy coming out of his bullpen as far as his ability to throw strikes, handle left-handers the way he does. It might not seem a big deal to the fans, but his control of the running game and things that he does are all attributes that are very valuable to us. And he's been very durable. You know, I was hoping to not have to get him in that seventh inning yesterday, but he was able to come in and get us out of that jam. It's just been a great opportunity for him, given the way things came down in spring training with the Santana situation, and he's really taken advantage. So, got to be a little careful. It's early. He's got a lot of appearances, and you know we're trying to spread it out the best we can. But obviously, we have a lot of confidence when he comes into the game.
You know, Paul, when you talk about your bullpen, not just Aaron, but Ryan Presley doing a great job. You've had a lot of turnover out there, but the next man up has been able to pick up the baton on every occasion. And I want to link that back to Eddie Guardado. He's in his first year as your bullpen coach. And in this day and age, a bullpen coach is no longer an old backup catcher. A bullpen coach is almost like a second pitching coach. And it seems like he has quite an impact on those bullpen guys.
Well, I think all our guys have a lot of trust in both Neil and Eddie. And, you know, being out there with those guys every day, talking to them pregame, during batting practice, in the meetings, I think he's really helped these guys in their routines to prepare each and every day that they go out to that pen, and especially when they're called upon. You know, we talked about Eddie coming on the staff this winter, and I was glad that it worked out. I knew that he would bring an energy and just an intelligence to the roles for those guys that are out there. And when things are going well, you give people credit, and Eddie definitely deserves some of that for what he's been able to do with some of these guys.
Paul, you bring up an interesting point in your conversation about ideally how you use your bullpen. And I guess I'm going to ask the question because you've had a little bit of time now, and you sit and you talk with Neil Allen and Eddie Guardado about your various pitching guys. And mm-hmm. Ideally, you know, what is the rest in between that under perfect scenario you would like to use the guys out of the pen?
Well, I don't know if there's a perfect one, Jack. I think other than Perkins, maybe one time, nobody's had to pitch more than two consecutive days. Obviously, that can change depending on how your rotation holds up in the innings that you're getting. And some guys are a little bit more durable, so maybe you're a little bit more free or flexible in making them pitch more than a couple days in a row. But you keep an eye on pitch count. You keep an eye on stuff. Neil is very prepared in what he gives me each day before each game, so I know how many days rest, how many times guys have been up, how many pitches they've thrown, recent appearances. So it's kind of a mix and match. Obviously, you know, Casey was throwing the ball well, and he's a big part of our bullpen, especially there in the eighth inning. But with him being down, it's kind of changed how we've used guys. You know, sometimes, you know, Presley might be first in, Tonkin might be first in. You know, you got the Dunsink-Thompson combination with your left-handers trying to extend the game from your starter to your closer. So Boyer's done fine. Just one of those things where I don't know if there's a magic formula on rest and pitches and all those things. You just try to monitor it the best way that you can.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Chris and Paul here in Cleveland. Jack Morrison, our network headquarters, taking another time out. We'll come back and talk a little bit about the challenge facing the Twins today against Danny Salazar and the Tribe right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Get that old clunker out of the garage. By donating your vehicle through the Twins Community Fund, you're actually turning your car into new equipment and playing fields for thousands of youth baseball and softball players across Twins territory. From giving inner-city youth access to the game to renovating that rundown baseball field in your hometown, your gift makes a huge difference. To learn more and make a donation, visit twinscommunityfund.org. That's twinscommunityfund.org.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every five children in America and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Minnesota Twins and Fox Sports North present Military Monday. Active military and veterans, plus four guests, can get half-price home plate view seats with their military ID. For more information, go to twinsbaseball.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Jack Morris, Chris Atterbury, joining Paul Molitor, who is in his office in Cleveland. Paul, sending young man Trevor May out to the mound today. Pitched well his last time, but I want to kind of switch gears here and talk about your opposing pitcher, Danny Salazar. Mm-hmm. Last time against the Twins, he really kind of dominated the game with 10 strikeouts. What do you do and tell the guys in between? Now, granted, they weren't necessarily swinging the bats as well at that particular point as they are right now.
Right.
And what's the different approach today?
Well, I know that Tom will have those guys down getting their work in the cage today, as we don't hit on the field Sundays very often. And he's always kind of talking about approaches for different guys to the particular pitcher we're facing that day. You know, a right-handed guy who throws upper end velocity, you know, you're going to see some 96, 97s today. And I think last time he was able to elevate that fastball and get us to extend the zone on the north side of it. And it's just not a pitch you're going to be able to score at very often, you know. And so we're going to try to get him down in the zone with his fastball. Right-handers fare a little bit better, mainly because his changeup, or what if you want to call it split or whatever that he throws, seems to be more effective against the left-handed hitters. But again, when a guy throws that hard, a tendency for hitters is to try to match swing velocity with pitch velocity, and it's a matter of still trusting that you can see the ball, recognize it, try to keep it in zone, and then just put a short swing on it. So, you know, hopefully we can shorten up a little bit on this guy today, try to get the barrel on it a little more consistently. He's going to strike some people out. That's just what he does. But the better job we can do of keeping him in the zone, the better chance we're going to have.
Paul, when you talk about that shortening up and grinding out those at-bats and forcing pitchers into the zone, we've seen on this little recent stretch of offensive production a lot of two-strike hits, I want to say 11 yesterday, and a lot of two-out hits. Are those kind of a manifestation of exactly what you're talking about?
Well, the two-out hits have been huge for us throughout the first 30 games or so. You know, a lot of times, you know, maybe we've got that guy on third, less than two outs, no outs, one outs, and those first couple guys haven't got him in, and we've been able to pick up the inning and extend it by a big two-out base hit. Now, that's kind of demoralizing for the other team when they think they're on the verge of escaping potential jams, and you put numbers on the board. You know, Vargas has hit the other day after a couple of strikeouts, extended the inning with an RBI single, and then we got a couple more and put a three up there. So those things are huge in the course of a game. As far as the two-strike approach, you know, the strikeouts and their effect on a game have increased dramatically in the past handful of years. And it's just a matter of guys continuing to understand how they're striking out, why they're striking out, trying to make adjustments. We got guys here that obviously our strikeout numbers are high, and we're just trying to find a way for them to put the ball in play, especially the speed guys, to give themselves a chance to make something happen.
Paul, switching gears back to your starting pitcher, Trevor May, a very good outing last time, but along the same lines of this conversation, he gave up four of his five hits with two strikes his last time out. Is Neil Allen making him aware of maybe missing out of the zone or trying to see if they'll chase in those situations?
Well, I overheard some of that conversation. I think he had a couple of 0-2 hits last time. Those 0-2 hits really can hurt you. We saw one yesterday at a Swisher that kind of ignited their rally off Phil yesterday. And you know, it's just a matter of being able to execute. You don't want to throw non-competitive pitches, but you know, you got to be mindful of how hitters hit is directly related to the counts that they're facing. And to try to take better advantage when you've worked hard to get ahead of a hitter is something that young pitchers probably need to be aware of and try to prove upon. The positives for Trevor last time was, you know, he really started to feel that he could throw that curveball behind to get back in counts and do different things. But obviously, pitches to get ahead and then find a way to finish guys off.
Now, it is the Paul Molitor Show, and we'll finish the Paul Molitor Show off after another break. We'll come back, get a conversation brewing about a young man who's made quite an impact in the early going. That's Eddie Rosario. Also going to talk about today's lineup next on your home for Twins baseball.
At Quick Trip, we hit the road early. We've got a lot of ground to cover to make sure you've got fresh bread from our bakery, the freshest milk and ice cream from our dairy, fresh produce. We make this trek every day to make sure your day is everything it should be.
So how about a dozen of Nature's Touch Grade A large eggs for only 99 cents? Just pop into your neighborhood Quick Trip store.
This is what we do, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Ford is taking the EcoBoost Challenge all across America so everyone can test drive America's best-selling brand.
Oh, wow. Ford has really stepped up.
I definitely feel the EcoBoost.
They really kicked the competition's butt on this.
So come get behind the wheel and experience the new Ford lineup for yourself.
Awesome. I want to do it again and again and again.
My opinion of Ford has dramatically changed.
Now during the EcoBoost Challenge at your local Northland Ford dealer, see for yourself why Ford has been America's favorite brand 5 years straight. For a limited time, you can get a great deal on Ford's full line of cars, SUVs, and F-Series trucks, the best-selling trucks for 38 years straight. Why wait? The EcoBoost Challenge is going on now. There's no better time to get behind the wheel of the perfect Ford for you. Don't miss out. During the EcoBoost Challenge, go to northlandford.com, then visit your local Northland Ford dealer for a test drive today. Best-selling based on 2010 through 2014 calendar year sales.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Chris Atterbury here in Cleveland as the Twins work out on the field below. We got Paul Molitor in the manager's office at Progressive Field, Jack Morris in our network headquarters, and Paul, Eddie Rosario, you guys were very clear. We were bringing him up, probably going to be a short stay, but give him an opportunity. He's knocked in a run in each of his four games. He's getting all those firsts out of the way, including a huge play to throw out Michael Brantley yesterday. Your take on his performance, your evaluation of Rosario's first taste of big league life.
Well, he's an exciting player. You know, when he's in the box, he just has that little swagger about him that makes you feel like something good's going to happen. You know, driving in a run, as you mentioned, in each of his games, the, you know, unbelievable start with that first pitch homer back about 4 days. And, you know, he's flexible enough and a good enough athlete. I can move him around. He's playing right field today. And but he's learning too. You know, the other day he had that RBI single in his first at bat, and then he had, you know, I think three punch outs in a row. So, you know, I just have encouraged him to stay hungry. He's making a good impression, obviously. Don't know how it's going to play out here as, you know, the next week, 2 weeks unfold. But in the short term, he's getting an opportunity, and he's contributing to us winning ball games.
Paul, I just want to add to that. I haven't seen a lot of Eddie Rosario in the minor leagues like you have. But what I see is a kid that when he walks into the batter's box, you can tell that he's not thinking about feeling his way through. He's up there to hit the ball. He's very aggressive, especially with the fastball. And I guess what I'm really trying to find out is you bring up a good point about he's learning, he's experiencing this. Does veteran players like Joe Mauer, Torrey Hunter help him through these early stages of his career? And if that is the case, a follow-up question, I guess, is you got Buxton, Sano. Are these guys going to get a shot at this too?
We'll see. You know, obviously Buxton's been playing great. Sano's still trying to find his way a little bit. But in terms of veteran players helping young guys, we have guys that are really good about that, whether it's encouragement after a rough at bat or a misplay or – you know, these guys are all over that, and that really makes my job and our coach's job a lot easier. You know, Rosario's an aggressive guy. He hunts that fastball early, and at the same time, there's a time maybe where it's not in his best interest. You know, yesterday, I think Chen was up there close to 30 pitches in the first inning, and Eddie's leading off the second, and probably, you know, doesn't know how much that cutter's moving and this and that, and he tries to get a first pitch fastball, and he rolls it over because it moved maybe more than he thought it would. And instead of maybe trying to add on to a pitcher's, you know, workload after a tough first inning, you know, he gets a one pitch out to start the second inning. So these are kind of things you don't want to take away a guy's aggressiveness, but you hope they learn to see the big picture a little bit more.
Paul, you've got Trevor Plouffe back in your cleanup spot today. Everything okay with Trevor, and is it good to see him back in the clubhouse?
Well, to be honest with you, I have two lineup cards today, one with him in it and one with him out. He's had a little delay in returning this morning. It's going to be a little bit of a close call. So we're hoping he gets here and I can get in there. I'd love to see him play today, and it's just a matter of how things are going to work out here in the next hour or so.
All right, well, we will let you go sorting through your various lineup cards. We appreciate you joining us here today for another edition of the Paul Molitor Show.
Okay, guys, again, happy Mother's Day, especially to you, Destiny. I will talk to you guys next week.
Very good, Paul.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. See ya.
All right, Jack, and more interesting stuff there from Paul Molitor. And I think really I like what he's saying about not only the use of the bullpen, but also the way this lineup is coming together. And, again, Eddie Rosario being back in right field. And you've talked about it a lot, the difference between taking two out of three and dropping the hammer on that getaway day and finishing with a sweep. We saw it against the White Sox. That's a big difference.
Well, it's a full game in the standings. I mean, they have a legit shot to do it. The Twins are the hottest team in baseball offensively. There's no reason to believe that they can't go out and duplicate what they've been doing. I know Danny Salazar is a good one, but that doesn't mean they can't hit fastballs, and I look forward to today's game.
As a pitcher, when you look at this streak, and I think it's interesting because individually, no Twin really has crazy numbers offensively, but as a unit, they've been so persistent. That's the word I keep coming back to, you know, not giving any at-bats away at any point of the game. Is that the kind of lineup as a pitcher that just drives you nuts because of that particular reason?
It really does, and the one thing that I've noticed here in this stretch is how many times they're putting the barrel of the bat on the ball. The hits are not just off the label or off the end. They're pretty much squared up. They have got a lot of line drive hits, and that's good to see.
All right, well, good stuff today here, Jackson. You enjoy a happy Mother's Day with your family. For Drew Halverson, producing back in our network headquarters, and Paul here at Progressive Field, I'm Chris Atterbury saying so long. Again, just after 11 today, you're going to have Corey Provis, Rob Antony with Inside Twins. Then we've got baseball, Danny Salazar, Trevor May right here on your home for Twins baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.